ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण
So my name is Bhaktivikasa Swami. This particular body is originally from England. I spend most of my time in India. I've mostly been living in India and neighboring countries for the last 17 years. It's very pleasing to see so many devotees and friends of Krishna here. This is the real decoration for the town. In the scriptures it's said that any place without Krishna consciousness is like a pilgrimage place for crows. So it's very pleasing to come and see everybody chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone looks very bright-faced and happy. Who made all those cakes and ice creams and things? Who made them?
They did not come. They
didn't come, right?
They will come soon.
Okay, whoever, I have to thank them. So, we'll have a little class. Just I'd like to see how many people here are very much familiar with this movement, are regularly coming? Mm-hmm. And who is not, that means quite a few people are fairly new, huh?
So
I have to know what level to speak.
Alright,
so I'm going to sing Jai Radha Madhava, which is a song in praise of Krishna. And then after that we'll sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I would request you all to please join us in singing Hare Krishna. This is a transcendental sound vibration. This is chanting of the holy names of God. And by chanting these names, we become purified. And our natural love of God awakens in the heart. So I request you, please join along with us in singing. Of course, those who are new, they won't know the first song, but they can join us in singing Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra is very easy to remember. Maybe we could have a little, short little lesson in the Hare Krishna mantra. So everyone please say after me, Hare Krishna. Everyone please say,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That's very nice, thank you. This verse. It's quite a long purple. Okay, I'll read from... Okay, I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 5. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of Iswara. This is the Sanskrit verse. Rishibhir Bahudha Gitam Chando Bhir Vividhai Pritak Brahma Sutra Padaishchaiva Hetu Madhir Vinishchitai. Read the translation. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Vedic literatures. It is spoken by Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna himself here, he also quotes from the authority of the Vedic literatures. And he also quotes the authority of great holy people in the past. Because those who are knowers of the truth, their opinion is the same. The absolute truth, absolute reality, is perceived slightly differently in different cultures around the world, but it is one single phenomenon. Now, the Vedic literature deals with all different branches of knowledge. Ved means knowledge. I think you have in Russian some word like this. Which word is that?
Ved.
Ved
means to know.
To know. So the Vedic literature covers all branches of knowledge, such as medicine, astronomy, geography, history, mathematics, economics, sociology, psychology. But the most important branch of the Vedic knowledge deals with spiritual knowledge. Now, spiritual knowledge, the beginning of spiritual knowledge is to understand who we are. to understand that every one of us, every living being, is ultimately a spiritual being. The Vedic literatures inform us that within every living body there is a spirit soul, and it is the soul which gives life to the body. When the body dies, it just means the soul has left the body. Just like if someone dies, you say, oh, he's gone away. You say in Russian also?
Yeah.
In Russian also there's... In every language. Because people understand that actually someone's gone away. What that means is that the soul has left the body. As long as the soul is in the body, the soul manifests symptoms of life. And as soon as the soul leaves the body, there's nothing you can do to bring the body back to life. You can bring all the best doctors in the world. You can pay millions of billions of rubles. You can give electric shocks and injections and medicines. But the dead body cannot be brought back to life. Because the principle of life is different from the chemicals within the body. The principle of life is the soul within the body. So the Vedic literatures inform us that the soul is going from body to body to body. There is a subtle science of karma and reincarnation, which describes that according to our activities, we get a certain kind of body. According to our desires and activities. For instance, some people may have the desire to eat a lot. So they may get the body of a pig, where they can eat unrestrictedly. In the human body, if you try to eat all day, you'll get very bad stomach problems. But in a pig body, you can eat all day and you'll have no problems with indigestion. So this is just one example. The Vedic literatures inform us that there are 8,400,000 of species of life. And that life is existing not only on this planet, but on all the planets in the universe. In some situations within the universe, life is full of very opulent material facilities. These are called the heavenly planets, where everybody has a very beautiful and healthy, strong body. And the climate is very nice, not a long cold winter, no need of heating systems. And the whole scenery is very beautiful. People are very cultured and intelligent, and they live very long lives. This is called the heavenly planets. So people who act in a very pious manner in this life, they can go to the heavenly planets. However, even if you go to the heavenly planets, when your pious activities are finished, you have to come back down to this earth planet. It's something like if someone saves up money in the bank. So gradually he can get a lot of money. But then if he starts to spend the money, the day will come when his balance is zero. And he has to start working again to get money. So in the same way, one has to, if one goes to the heavenly planets, he goes there by building up a bank balance of pious activity. But as he enjoys life, his balance goes down until it's zero. So the heavenly planets are considered to be the best situation within this material world. There are other situations which are not so agreeable. Just like you may also get the body of a dog or a cat or a pig. If someone acts sinfully, he will get the body of an animal. But the Vedic literatures inform us that any situation within this material world is not good. And actually, if we consider it with our intelligence, we can understand that this is true. Because whatever situation we have within the material world, we have to die. And whatever situation we are in within the material world, we have to suffer old age and disease. So this cycle of being born, growing old, suffering disease, and dying again and again is not very good. Plus, there are so many other difficulties. Just like we say, the hard struggle for survival. Life is full of anxieties and disappointments. Now, of course, you may say, well, really, it's not that bad. There are many good things in life also. That may be. But it is far from being an ideal situation. Actually, as living spiritual souls, we desire full happiness. But the very nature of this material world is that we cannot achieve full happiness. So the Vedic literatures inform us that actually this material world is not the proper place for us to be in. The Vedic literatures inform us that beyond this material world is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, things are similar to the material world. In fact, this material world is described as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are also houses and people and rivers and fields and so many things. But there is no birth and death. There is no anxiety. There is no envy. And there is an atmosphere of perfect love and cooperation between all living beings. The object of everybody's love is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means that he is the supreme controller of everything that be. But he's also a person. He's not a limited person like you and me, with limited intelligence and abilities. But he is a person. And as a person, he also desires friendship and love. Krishna's ability to love is more than our ability to love. Because Krishna is unlimited, he can have a loving relationship with every living being. There are unlimited numbers of living beings. We could hardly begin to count even the number of living beings within Russia. How many living beings are there in Russia? How many blades of grass? And there's so many silver birch trees. There's a silver tree. So many trees. And Russia is only a tiny place within the whole universe. And this is only one universe. There are unlimited number of universes. So there are an unlimited number of living beings within the universe. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows them all. Krishna is within everyone's heart. Krishna is, he resides in the spiritual world. But he's also in everybody's heart. So we may say, how is that possible? How can somebody be in one place and in another place at the same time? So we cannot imagine it because it's impossible for us. But what is impossible for us is very easy for Krishna. After all, he's God. He's not a tiny living being like us. So God is in everyone's heart, and he's giving us direction how we can come out of this material world and go to him. Krishna very much desires our welfare. Therefore, he comes personally and speaks Bhagavad Gita and gives us full knowledge of who we are, who he is, why we are suffering in this material world, how we can come out of this material world, how we can enter the spiritual world and live there eternally, happily. So God comes personally himself in his original form as Krishna in different incarnations like Ram and Narasimha, and he also sends his great devotees to preach this message in different parts of the world. These messengers of God preach the message of God on different planets, in different times and places and circumstances. Of course, in the Western world at the present time, Lord Jesus Christ is very famous as a great messenger of God. And in more recent times, our Divine Master, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, has come to the Western world and taught the message of Bhagavad Gita. So there are many such messengers of God who appear in this world to preach the message of God. Such messengers of God are not ordinary people like you and me who are struggling in this material world. But they come to give us transcendental knowledge. They come to remind us of God and to teach us the way to God. Of course, preaching the message of God consciousness in this world is not easy. We see that Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. There was no fault on his part. He did nothing offensive to anybody. Rather, he brought them the highest good. But the nature of this world is that many people are so much envious of the message of God that they don't want to hear it. The message of God is very clear and easy to understand. But most people do not want to understand it. Most people are not pure-hearted enough to accept the message of God, and rather they protest against it. However, if one is a little bit spiritually intelligent, he will try to understand the message of God. Every person should be intelligent enough to consider introspectively what is his position in life. Unfortunately, most people go on with life without even thinking what is the purpose of life. Most people are just swept along by the rest of society. Especially in the modern age, people are intoxicated with TV and rock music and so many nonsense things. Or they may be totally intoxicated with vodka. So these kind of things, they divert our attention away from the real questions of life. The real questions of life which every intelligent person should ask is, who am I? What is the meaning of life? Why is the universe existing? Is there God? Well, surely there must be. So what is my relationship with him? Why am I suffering? I do not want to suffer, but suffering is forced upon me. I do not want to die, but I have no choice. What is the meaning of all this? So an intelligent person should ask questions like this. An intelligent person should not simply go along with his life meaninglessly. If a human being simply makes arrangement for eating and taking bath and sleeping very comfortably, then he's not much more advanced than the animals. because the animals also spend their whole lives making arrangement for bodily comforts. So actually this Krishna conscious movement is meant for the most intelligent people. We're not talking about PhD candidates. We're not talking about university graduates. We're not necessarily talking about university graduates. But we're talking about those whose spiritual intelligence has been awakened. Those who feel the urge to know about God. Those who are not satisfied simply with living life as a sophisticated animal. For such people, this Vedic literature is very valuable. Because it gives us clear knowledge of who we are, who is God, and how we can understand God. How we can rapidly make progress on the path of spiritual advancement. How we can get free from the lower qualities which impede our spiritual progress. How we can get free from the contaminations of lust, greed, anger, envy, and so on. And how we can understand our true spiritual nature as servants of God, Krishna. Krishna. So this is great subject matter. Of course, everything is summarized in Bhagavad Gita. But there are many other books of philosophical knowledge also, which describe the intricacies of the science of God and the science of Bhakti Yoga, which means the yoga or the spiritual practice of devotional service to Krishna, by which one can gradually become more and more advanced in love of God, until he comes to the stage where he is always thinking of God in raptures of divine ecstasy. When the devotee in the highest stage of advancement of devotional ecstasy always thinks of Krishna within his heart. So from the beginning stages of devotional service to the topmost advanced stage is of course a very long journey. Usually this journey of spiritual advancement extends over many, many lifetimes. However, we are very fortunate in the modern age in one sense, because in this modern age, the process of spiritual advancement is very easy. It is not necessary to undergo very many difficult austerities. It is not necessary to become a highly learned scholar of the Vedic literature. The process of spiritual advancement in the modern age is so easy that anybody in any position of life can take it up and achieve success. One may fully dedicate into the process and become a monk like myself. Or if he doesn't find that convenient, he can practice Krishna consciousness while living at home. One can be a doctor, a factory worker, an engineer, a housewife, it doesn't matter. One's only qualification for advancement in Krishna consciousness is his true sincerity. Of course, to be successful in Krishna consciousness requires adopting some principles for purification of our lives, such as eating only foods offered to Krishna. That automatically precludes all non-vegetarian food, such as meat, fish, and eggs. So a few little adjustments have to be made. But the main thing is that one should take up the process of devotional service with great sincerity. One can make an altar in his home, just like this, very simply, and offer some flowers to Krishna every day. In your country, there is a very nice culture of giving flowers to guests. Is a very pleasing exchange. So, if you have pictures of Krishna in your home, then you can offer nice flowers to Krishna every day, and offer incense to Krishna, and pray to Krishna. And most importantly of all, one should chant the names of Krishna, especially this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This chanting of Hare Krishna means we are chanting the names of Krishna, the names of God. And it is the most important process of spiritual realization in this age. So I invite those of you who have not yet taken up this chanting of Hare Krishna, please take it up in your lives. Our devotees can give you full direction how to do this. And those who are chanting Hare Krishna, please go on with this chanting and spread it to others. So I won't speak much more. Just I've given a very basic idea of what Krishna consciousness is all about. Thank you for all listening so attentively. If anybody has any questions, you can please ask. Then after questions are asked, we'll have a little arati, it means a ceremony of worship for Krishna, and then we'll be having a slideshow about holy places in India. So if anybody would like to ask questions, please do so now.
And if there are any people Хочу сказать, один ваш вере говорится, что Бог один, и мы рождены в культуре христианства. И есть разница, если мы любим Иисуса Христа или любим Кришну, и поклоняемся Христу или поклоняемся Кришне?
No. Jesus said to love God the Father in heaven. So God the Father in heaven means Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Where is the soul in the plant?
In the plants. According to scripture, the soul is situated in the heart of every living being. That is a general description which is given. From the point of view of medical science, the heart is like the engine of the whole body. It's the source of power for the whole body. Where exactly in the plant it is situated, I haven't studied the Vedic literature, then, what it says. But we can understand that whatever is the source of energy within the plant, that must be where the soul is. The same principle holds within animal bodies or plant bodies. That a dead plant body cannot be brought back to life by any material means. As long as the soul is there, the plant goes through the different transformations that organic systems do. As long as the life principle is there, the synthesis of chlorophyll goes on within the plant. Synthesis of chlorophyll. Gerhard is a philosopher, not a scientist. And as soon as the principle of life is gone from the plant, then the whole process stops. So, and there's nothing you can do to revive that process. Therefore we understand the presence of the soul. Where exactly in the plant body it may be, that I personally cannot say. I haven't studied Vedic biology. In fact, the Vedic scientists, they didn't delve into so many intricacies in great depth. For instance, we find in the modern age, scientists may spend 20 years studying the mating habits of a certain species of fish. But the Vedic scripture, the followers of the Vedic literatures were concerned with more important questions. What is the meaning of life? Whether you study the mating habits of fish or not, their mating will go on. You don't have to give them any advice. They know what they're doing. Just like in the schools, they have sex education. You don't need sex education. Without sex education, the human race has been generating itself for thousands of years. So similarly, what are the intricacies of the life patterns of different plants? The Vedic literatures, they don't go into great detail about that. People have faith that nature is going on by God's arrangement. And if we simply cooperate with God's arrangement, then God will provide everything for us. How the grass is growing, God has made that arrangement. So we can take the grass, feed it to the cow, take the milk, offer it to Krishna and drink it ourselves. And in this way make our life perfect. If you're really interested to know, you could. If you're really interested to know, you could. We have, our society also has a scientific branch. And because people in the modern world have taken science as the modern religion, they are preaching among scientists. The members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, as it is called, are all accomplished scientists. And because people come up with all kinds of intricate questions like this, they study through all the Vedic literatures to find the answers. Just so that people may be satisfied that the Vedic literatures do have full knowledge. But for people in general, we recommend just try to understand who you are and what is your relationship with God. This is the really important question of life. Hare Krishna.
I was going to ask a medical question.
Medical question? Well, I'm not a doctor, but you can try me out. I mean, there are unlimited kinds of questions you could ask. You could also ask me a question about the history of the Eskimos in Greenland. But for that, it's just like, you know, if you want to buy you want to buy potatoes, you should go to a grocery shop, not to the post office. If you want to buy a tape recorder, you should go to a shop where it is sold. So if you want to ask a medical question, it would probably be better to ask a doctor. I'm not...
But this question is connected with mental meditation.
Oh, then please ask. And as much as within my knowledge, I'll try to answer.
If a person is ill, for instance, if his body is some liquid which coming out, And actually, is it possible to treat it only with mantra mantra, or is it possible to use some medical cutting, operations, or some injections and medicines and so on?
There are many systems of medicine. There are many what are also called alternative systems of medicine, such as alternative systems of treatment, such as color therapy, hypnotherapy, magnetotherapy. There are many alternative systems of medicine. Disease can also be cured simply by calling on the name of God. If one has faith in God and calls out his name, then God may be pleased to bless him to cure him of his disease. However, pure devotees of Krishna do not recommend using the chanting of God's name for curing disease. They recommend chanting the name of God for achieving love of God. Hare Krishna. I've got two questions. Where are you from? I'm in your native town country. Do you know Boy George? Yeah, okay. Yeah, who wrote this question? Actually, it's a good idea to write questions.
Это хорошая идея писать вопрос. Вопрос такой: откуда вы? То есть я имею в виду ваш родной город и страна. И второй вопрос: знаете ли вы Бой Джорджа? Его последняя песня о Кришне.
So, I'm from near London in England. Of course, we don't belong to this material world. This material world is a foreign country to all of us. But having lived in India for so many years, from the material point of view, I feel more at home in India than I do in the Western country. Though I must say that wherever I go in Russia, people treat me so nicely, I feel that it's almost like coming home here also. Then, do I know Boy George? No. And yet, there's another boy with a name beginning with G who we're becoming acquainted with. His name is Gopal Govinda. Krishna. Any other question?
Actually, you know what is happening in our army. Very terrible things, in a very terrible place. And actually, we don't want our children and our devoted sons to serve in the army. What to do in such situation?
Yes. Well, if you see me afterwards, I'll speak with you because I'm acquainted with some of these things. And we have some arrangement whereby the young boys can serve in the army in a certain place, in different places where the officers are very understanding and cooperative. So if you see me afterwards, we can discuss this some more. No, anyway, we discussed this yesterday with Ananda Chaitanya. Anyway, we can discuss later. Another question?
Mm-hmm.
Why people are fasting before the
center of medical science, you know? Is there a medical college here? Is there a medical college here? Oh, why Maharaj Parikshit fasted before death? Because he wanted to use every moment of his time for hearing about Krishna. He didn't have much time left. So anyway, all of us, we don't have much time left. How long are we going to live in this body? We may die any time. And even the young boys here, you can't hope to live more than maybe 60 years more at the most. So we don't have much time. Therefore, we should minimize on eating, sleeping, and all useless activities. Use our time for cultivating Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, and engaging in devotional service. Any other question?
We appear in this world. Is it the mercy of God or is it our punishment?
Now we are in this material world because of envy of Krishna, because of a sense of not wanting to serve Krishna. So it is a kind of punishment. But at the same time, it is the mercy of God. Just like a father punishes his child in such a way that the child will be educated. The father does not punish the child out of hatred. So it is, especially this human form of life is the mercy of God. It's the opportunity to get free from birth and death. So we should take it very seriously. He looks very young and healthy. When we were coming along, we saw so many people. I think they were at a sports camp. So to be young and healthy, that's, you feel very good. Both the body and the mind are very sharp. So it's a very good time when the brain is young and the intelligence is sharp to use that intelligence to understand the message of God. Because youth doesn't last very long, as all of us who are a little older can testify. Just seems like a few days ago that I also used to play football many hours every day. Now if I run for more than 5 minutes, I'm finished. The body changes. So while, especially when the body is young and healthy, it's very good to use while we're fresh to try to understand about God. And if we're not so young and healthy, it doesn't matter. We can become freshened up by chanting Hare Krishna. Any other question?
The most population of Russia are the followers of Christianity. And what is your attitude to the fact that Christianity rejecting Hare Krishna movement?
Well, we feel that a real Christian would welcome this movement. I don't think Jesus Christ would be against this movement. Jesus Christ gave his life for spreading love of God. We're not doing anything else. Of course, we can't claim to be anything nearly as great as Jesus Christ. Certainly not against him. But I wonder if Jesus Christ would be so happy with all the Christians. Jesus Christ taught to dedicate your life to God. But most people, they take religion as a kind of social function. Actually, any holy person in any tradition will recognize another holy person in another tradition. But most people who claim to be a Christian, a Muslim, or a Hindu, or whatever, they're not actually very serious about serving God. Such people, they become fanatically opposed to something which doesn't agree with their particular dogma. I don't think such people are actually very deeply religious or interested in loving God. Love of God should be welcomed in whichever form it appears. Is it not? So we're not actually we're not actually being opposed by Christianity. We're being opposed by some kind of dogma in the name of Christianity. But I think many of you who are visiting here also identify yourselves as Christians. And I would think that you are more like the real Christians that Jesus Christ will be very pleased with, because you welcome knowledge of God in whichever form it appears. Quite honestly, much of the opposition to the Hare Krishna movement by the church, I think it is politically motivated. They may be thinking that if the Hare Krishna movement becomes very popular, then the influence of the church will become less.
You couldn't read what should do the youngster from 13 up to 18 years who cannot find the understanding of their relatives at home, but who are very much taught Krishna.
Yeah, it may be very difficult for them. I remember when I was living at home, of course, I didn't know about Krishna at that time, but I was trying to become a vegetarian. And my father was very unhappy. Srila Prabhupada gave some advice. He advised not to, he said, if you're becoming Krishna conscious and your parents don't like it, he said it's better not to fight with your parents. But at the same time, you shouldn't follow their non-Krishna conscious instructions. You may be surprised to know that even in India, some of our devotees have this problem. And they may be even older than 18. Recently in South India, one boy told me he's chanting 16 rounds for the last few months. He gets up very early in the morning at 3 o'clock and chants his rounds before anybody else wakes up. He had been doing this for about 6 months when his father found out. His father is an army officer. His father had never beaten him in his life before. He was 22 years old. He got a severe beating. So this is a problem all over the world. So the best thing is to go on with our Krishna conscious practices in a little subdued way. Associate with devotees as much as possible. Certainly we cannot give up our Krishna conscious practices. We can't expect our parents always to understand about this. Even actually if you study the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find many revolutionary things like this. Jesus Christ said, I've not come to bring families together, but to turn father against son and son against father. So of course our aim is not to disturb families in Krishna consciousness. The best thing is if the whole family becomes Krishna conscious. We saw that in Navarishni Chalni. There was an older woman sitting, a younger woman, and a girl about 12 years old. There was grandmother, mother, and daughter, and they're all chanting Hare Krishna. So that is very nice. But it doesn't always happen. So the best thing is to go on chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees. As much as possible, don't try to disturb your parents. Go on with your studies at school. Try and get good results. At least that will satisfy the parents. And then later on, when you're older, you can choose which course you want to take in your life. Many times, gradually the parents, they understand all about this. And they change their attitude. And if they see the good influence Krishna consciousness is having on their child, they may be very pleased actually that their child is not becoming a drunkard, not taking drugs, is leading a very clean and sober kind of life. Anyway, it's often not a very easy problem, but you have to pray to Krishna for strength. Any more questions? She's an architect. More? Graveyard? Crematorium? The whole material, answer is the whole material world is impure. Tomb, As long as we're living in this material world, we have to do something, some kind of job. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. You have to do some job to maintain your living. You have to do that. But anyway, we should try to understand Krishna. If you don't do it, someone else will have to do it. It's not such a bad thing. It's not like being a butcher and killing animals. If you had asked me, is it all right to be a butcher, I would say no. But this is not such a bad thing. You'll be paid some money for that. Give some donation to the Krishna consciousness.
This is our tradition in Christianity, but actually what I'm doing tradition, what I'm doing with their body.
Generally we burn them. In the Christian tradition there's some idea, of course Christ didn't say it, but the Christian theologians have decided that the body, at the time of judgment, the body revives, the same body. But in Krishna consciousness we understand that in this material world we are getting many bodies, one after another. And as it is said in the Bible, the body is simply a transformation of earth. So as soon as the soul leaves the body, then the body is simply earth again. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So we don't put so much emphasis on the importance of the body. In fact, the Vedic literatures inform us that if the body is not destroyed in such a way, then the soul may remain in the area of the body being attached to it after death. Mm-hmm. And in this way become a ghost, which is very inauspicious. That's why people are afraid to go to the graveyard at night, because so many ghosts are active. So the best thing is just to burn the body. But anyway, if in your tradition you do that, and you're employed by the government to do it, then it's no serious crime in doing that.
Guru Maharaj, please tell how to be sincere in service to Krishna and how to revive other good qualities.
Well, when Prabhupada was asked how to be sincere, he just said, be sincere, that's all. How to get all good qualities? Just try to be a good servant of Krishna and all good qualities will come. Why not be sincere? Why make plans to remain within this material world? Why not serve Krishna? Krishna is giving everything to us. Krishna is our best friend. So why should we not give ourselves in faith to Him? If we serve Krishna, we will become completely satisfied. Krishna will never cheat us. Rather, the more we serve Krishna, the more Krishna will reveal Himself to us. So there's no reason not to serve Krishna sincerely except our own foolishness. So, of course, foolishness is the nature of this material world. From the spiritual point of view, everybody is foolish because they don't know the purpose of life. They're simply passing on their life without any higher interest than how to get food and sleep and sex. Therefore, it's very important to read these books of spiritual knowledge, such as Bhagavad Gita, so that we can understand this spiritual philosophy very clearly. And that will give us the impetus to go on with more and more determination and sincerity.